Thanks, Steve. It's Bill Leff and it's Wendy Snyder. If you want to chime in at any point during the show, you can call us or text us at 312-981-7200. Alexander Zelbin joins us every Friday. He's the managing editor of Decider.com, a wonderful website if you like TV news, entertainment news. Alexander, how are you? Everything good?
I'm doing great. How are you guys?
We're good. Wendy and I talked about this at great lengths yesterday, but it certainly bears some repeating. An amazing interview on the CBS Morning Show with Gail King, as she had R. Kelly sit down with her, sit down for part of it. He didn't remain seated through the whole interview. Your chance to see it again, if you didn't see any of it on the CBS Morning News, it's going to be not rerun, but the entire interview will be shown tonight. I think it's 7 o'clock Central. Does that sound right?
It's 7 o'clock Central, 8 p.m. Eastern time on CBS. And as far as I have seen, they actually recorded an 80-minute-long interview with R. Kelly. They aired 8 minutes of it on CBS in the morning, which, as you mentioned, were utterly horrifying and riveting and must-watch TV. This is the extended version. You can check out the whole thing. If you did miss it or didn't see the clips online, certainly there's going to be a lot more to unpack after that airs tonight.
I have to say, and we already, again, we talked about this yesterday a little bit, but I don't know how you could do a better job with something like that than Gail King did. Mm-hmm. It was a very, very tense interview, the parts that we saw, and she was so calm.
I don't know how.
Yeah, what happened there?
Yeah, I mean, when you're doing an interview like that, I feel like there's almost a script to these things now, that it almost comes off as an apology to her, and my take on it is that's kind of what R. Kelly seemed to expect coming in, but that's not what Gail King was laying down, and that's not what she was having. She acted like a journalist, which shouldn't be a surprise, but she did an incredible job with that and stayed even through that. When those pictures first popped up in my timeline of him jumping in the air and screaming and her just stoically and calmly sitting there and moving past it, I thought it was fake. I honestly did. So
it did look like that. And,
yeah.
Yeah. Amazing job.
She was able to somehow she would just say, you know, as he got more and more heated, she would just sit there and she'd say, "Robert, Robert." And Wendy does that to me during the show. I never knew what it meant until this week.
Yeah, I mean, you guys know as interviewers, I don't know if you ever dealt with a situation like that, and hopefully you haven't, but certainly there are times when things go a little off the rails.
Yeah.
It's hard to stay calm or figure out what to do, but she came in prepared. She knew what she needed to do. She knew this was not going to be an easy interview, and she pushed on through it and got what she needed to get.
I'm surprised she wasn't more scared, because he came completely unhinged, where I don't know if he was going to start swinging or what. Well, he just really lost it.
She explained last night, she was on Stephen Colbert's show, and she said she wasn't afraid for herself. What she was afraid of was that he was going to just end the interview, and she didn't want that to happen. She wanted the interview to continue. And if you go back and watch, because I did, I went back and watched part of it, you go, yeah, that's how she was playing it. Very wise move. Now, she also, Alex, she talked to two of his, I guess you'd say, girlfriends. It's two of the girls who live with him there in the house. They're very young. I think they're 21 and 23. Do you know, will that part of the interview be shown tonight? Do you know that?
I saw a little of that.
Quite sure if that's in it, though. I'd expect they'll touch on that a little bit, or maybe repeat some portions or give some sort of context on the special. We honestly don't know exactly what's going to be airing tonight, but yeah, as you mentioned, that's its whole own complicated can of worms, because those are essentially two women that I think you have to say he bought, basically. And they went on TV to defend him and said that their parents were trying to get money and extort him. But there have been dozens of women who have come out against him. So not to dismiss at all what these two women said, but there's certainly a lot more to the story than just them and him.
You know, you could certainly draw a parallel to what's going on with R. Kelly and the documentary about him and the one that we all saw on HBO about Michael Jackson. I don't know if you saw this, Alex, but yesterday, Corey Feldman, who for years and years and years has defended Michael Jackson and said, I was never, there was never anything inappropriate between Michael Jackson and myself. I was a friend of his when I was younger, but nothing strange ever happened. He actually came out yesterday and said, while never admitting that anything happened between Michael and him, that it's impossible for him to defend Michael Jackson after seeing this documentary. He can't do it anymore. Is that a surprise or not a surprise?
It's only a surprise that he reversed himself so quickly, frankly. But I think he really just needs to see that documentary and really think about it. This is something that I think the three of us have talked about before, but my feeling on it is when you know somebody personally, you interact with them in a very specific way, and that's how you know them. And frankly, based on what Corey Feldman is saying, yes, he never experienced that behavior. He never saw any sort of behavior. So he only knew Michael Jackson as a friend, so that's how he believed he was. So to be faced with any sort of allegations from anybody, it conflicts with that worldview. But you watch Leaving Neverland, you see how those men talk about what happened in the past, and you see how it's explained in the documentary, and it's very hard to believe that they are not telling the truth, because really, they don't have anything to gain by coming out and talking about it now.
Yep. On a lighter note, a much, much lighter note, Ricky Gervais is finally coming back to TV. What can you tell us?
Well, you'd think it would be a lighter note, except for the fact that it is a new series on Netflix that dropped today. It's 6 episodes, and it's a surprisingly serious series from Ricky Gervais, who people probably know from The Office and Extras and hosting the Golden Globes and others. The idea of the series, it's dark comedy. His wife suddenly dies, and he decides to punish the world by saying exactly what he thinks. What you'll find is it's actually more dramatic than you think. It's not necessarily being as raw and in your face as he usually is on Twitter, or when he's hosting the Golden Globes or anything like that. It's maybe a little more poignant. It's probably not his best series. You know, go back, watch The Office, watch Extras for that. But if you're a fan of him, maybe it's something you might want to check out.
One of the things I like most about him is that he approaches things always from a tilted direction. It's never anything straight on. His approach is always a strange way in, and I always like that. I think he's very creative that way.
Yeah, I think what you'll find with this one is it's definitely more dramatic than comedic, which is something that I don't think people will be expecting. So certainly it might be one worth checking out.
I want to put a shout out there to AP Bio. I don't know if you're a fan, Alexander, but Glenn Howerton, who played Dennis from Always Sunny in Philadelphia, Patton Oswalt's on it. It's funny. It premiered. I enjoy it still.
Yeah, one of our writers, Josh Sarkatch, is a huge fan of the show. I checked out the first episodes, by the way, and I really enjoyed it, but it's one I haven't kept up with. But he is a big fan of the show. He writes about it on the site all the time, put up a couple of reasons you should check out the new season yesterday. And according to him, even though it's the second season, it's the sort of thing you can jump right in and enjoy. And it has, as you mentioned, Glenn Howerton from It's Always Sunny, but also the young cast is wonderful and delightful and hilarious as well. So definitely one worth checking out.
You know how, like, when you watched School of Rock, the kids were so good in that particular movie, and you commented on that. These kids, I don't even know if they're truly kids, but the actors that play his students are just, they make the show to me. It's really not, he's not the best part of it. The kids are, it's amazing. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, I mean, if you are interested in checking out the show, the fun riff of it is that usually you have that sort of teacher who comes in and has to motivate the kids. It's the opposite with the show, where he doesn't want to teach, and the kids just want him to teach one lesson. That's it. They just want a little bit of learning out of their classes. So it's really fun.
He says, right as he comes in, he's like, I am not going to teach you anything in this biology class, and you'll all get an A. Unless you say something to somebody, then you're getting an F.
Oh, wow.
It's good
great. Rules. Alexander Zelbin's our guest. He's the managing editor of Decider.com. We'll take a quick break and then come back with more, so stick around for that. It's Bill Leffin. It's Wendy Snyder, along with our guest, Alexander Zelbin. He is the managing editor of Decider.com. Over on HBO, it's The Case Against Adnan and Syed. What can you tell us about this, Alex?
Sure. If you are a fan of the podcast Serial, you're definitely going to want to check this out. It's a 4-part true crime series. It airs one episode each week, as you mentioned, HBO at 9 p.m. And it digs deeper into Adnan Syed and his case, as the title implies. I will say a couple of our reviewers here at Decider checked it out. They think it's very good, very solid, a nice companion to Serial. But the big one you're going to want to look forward to is the 4th and final episode, which is going to contain some new evidence that may change how you think about the whole case.
Oh, all right.
I'm sorry, but what is Serial? I've heard of it, but I don't know exactly what it is. Can you explain that?
I'm one of the few people in the world that actually didn't watch Serial, though certainly we've covered it a lot. But it was a podcast that delved into the case of this guy, Adnan Syed. It's definitely pointed to as kicking off the current true crime trend.
Was it an audio podcast or just a video? It was an audio podcast.
Okay,
so no video to it.
Yeah, but this one, all video. So yes. There you go. You can watch stuff instead of just listening.
Bob Saget coming back to television.
Really?
I love him. And with an interesting twist on his old America's Funniest Home Videos. What do you know about this one?
Yeah, this is premiering Tuesday, March 12th at 10 p.m. on ABC, and it's called Videos After Dark. And it's basically America's Funniest Home Videos, hosted by Bob Saget, but more mature and a little less family-friendly. And before you think, whoa, Bob Saget is doing that, that's actually how he started. He started as a very raunchy, very in-your-face stand-up comic. So I initially balked at the idea, but then when I thought about it for another couple of seconds, I thought, oh, that's actually his wheelhouse. That's where he's comfortable. So it might be a fun and very weird thing to check out.
It's so funny because he was on Full House and America's Funniest Home Videos, people kind of thought, well, that's what Bob Saget is. He's squeaky clean. And then they'd go and see him in clubs, and he was the exact opposite of that. This might be the perfect thing for him, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And I should mention this week's episode is a special sneak preview, and then it'll pick up with a regular series at some point later in the year. But yeah, like you said, it's going to be definitely not for kids. Don't gather the whole family around, but it should be a lot of fun.
They keep showing ads for season two. I know it premieres Sunday, season two of American Gods. Usually when you see a preview of something, you can kind of figure out what the storyline is. I have no idea what's going on there. Explain.
Sure. So this premieres the second season at 8 p.m. on Stars on Sunday. It's based on a book by Neil Gaiman. And the idea is that gods exist. All of the gods, every pantheon, they live in America, and a guy named Shadow Moon, who's played by Ricky Whittle, if you ever watched The 100, he played Lincoln on that, he gets caught in a war between the old gods and the new. But it's very dreamy, it really delves into religion, what it means to people, but in a very fun and trippy way. Neil Gaiman, anybody who knows his writing, yeah. He's really into myths. And he's really into exploring mythology, and that's what the show does. It's crazy, boldly visual. I really love the first season. The thing that made people very worried going to the second season is most of the behind-the-scenes people left. Brian Fuller and Michael Green, who created it, left the show. Kristen Chenoweth, who was on the first season, left. Gillian Anderson left. So there are a lot of questions going into the second season. But I will say, if you like the show in the first season, at least for the first couple of episodes, you'll still be on board with season two.
And that's shown on Stars. All right, now a couple of quick questions about stories that have happened this week. Number one, the sad, untimely death of Luke Perry. Luke Perry played Archie's father on Riverdale. Do we know how they're going to handle this yet?
Well, we know in the short term how they're going to handle it. They put an in-memoriam card up at the end of this week's episode. There is honestly a lot of questions in my mind whether they're going to air it, because anybody who watches Riverdale knows it can be very extreme. There's a lot of murder and sexuality and other things. But this was a relatively calm episode for the show. There was a very sweet scene where Luke Perry, as Fred Andrews, is relating to his son Archie Andrews and helping him out. And so they made the decision to air this. They said that this episode that aired this week and every episode from now on will be dedicated to Luke Perry. But in terms of the season itself, there's still a couple of episodes that they have left to film. It does look like Molly Ringwald, who plays Mary Andrews, Archie's mom, is coming back for some final episodes. So my suspicion, this is not based on any actual facts, but my suspicion is they probably did some hasty rewrites to make things work for the end of the season, are bringing in Molly Ringwald to at least make the plot elements work. But going forward, it's a huge loss for the show and for the world at large.
You know, I'm sure if you're the producer of a show like that and he's the star, the first thought is, well, if he obviously can't play the character anymore, so your option is either recast the role or somehow kill the character off. But that would seem insensitive since he died so awfully and subtly, you know, and quickly. And I don't know how you pull that off.
Well, I think on the recasting thing, that's not anything that would happen with Riverdale. There's always options. You know, you look at a show like Spartacus, where the star rather shockingly died, and they did actually recast him.
Yeah.
That worked okay for that show, because that's how that show was built. Here on Riverdale, and I think anybody who knows who watches the show, Fred Andrews was Luke Perry. Like, they basically tweaked the character to make him work as Luke Perry. Luke Perry was a father figure to the entire cast, so it's not somebody you can just replace. In terms of killing off the character, that's potentially a route they can go. I think, in fact, that's probably the thing that they will do, that they'll have some sort of shocking real-world thing that will affect the cast. And, you know, for better or for worse, that has worked in certain ways. I mean, I think about the News Radio episode after Phil Hartman suddenly died, which was, I still can't watch that episode because it's so gut-wrenching and so sad, but that's how they dealt with it, and again, that made sense for the show. So Riverdale's a toughie. It's a off-the-wall show, even on a regular basis. There's crazy stick monsters and things going on. So it'll be interesting to see how they deal with a shocking, awful, real-world thing on a show like that. But they're good writers, and it's good showrunner, and I really trust them to take care of it.
Another death, Jan Michael Vincent has passed away at the age of 74, and he actually died back on February 10th after suffering cardiac arrest while he was a patient at a North Carolina hospital, according to sources. He, of course, was known, what was his series? Airwolf. But Bill, I have to tell you, because I am determined to make this happen, he was also on the Banana Splits Adventure Hour.
Yeah, he was Chongo, I think.
Lincoln Link Simmons.
Oh, right. The show, the segment was Chongo. He was the guy who went out in search of Chongo.
All right, well, I have to bring up the Banana Splits every week, Alex. That's my goal.
Yeah.
But that's sad. 74 years old. I had such a crush on him.
Yeah, he's a handsome guy.
He was pretty handsome.
We also learned that Alex Trebek, the host of Jeopardy, is battling pancreatic cancer. Will he continue to host? I'm not sure that he could do that. Could he during his treatments?
Yeah, he is. I mean, we all know he's an amazing guy, but he is planning on hosting through chemo. There has never been a guest host on Jeopardy since he took over the show back in the 80s, even though he had, I believe, two cardiac arrests and a blood clot over the course of the past couple of decades. They've never brought in anybody else. So he is planning on fighting the cancer. He's planning on getting chemo, but he's also planning on hosting the show. And as of right now, he has another 3 years left on his contract. So he's planning on sticking through that. I guess we'll see what happens.
If you ever watch New Amsterdam, which is one of my new favorite shows, the medical director is going through chemotherapy and refuses to relinquish his position, so he's still working every day, too. Mm. I know that's not real life, but close enough.
We finally got word that Mad About You, which they've been talking about this for about a year, a little over a year now, it has finally found a home. This is the Paul Reiser Helen Hunt series from years and years ago. What can you tell us about this?
Yeah, so this is an interesting one just in terms of where it ended up. The original cast is coming back, Paul Reiser and Helen Hunt, the creator behind the scenes is coming back, but it's something they had been shopping around for a while to NBC, broadcast stations, streaming networks. It seems like nobody picked it up until Spectrum Originals picked it up. Now, most people probably don't know what Spectrum Originals is because it hasn't actually launched, but it's from Charter Spectrum. They actually also picked up the scrapped switch-gendered Bad Boys pilot that's coming out at some point soon. So they're going to be launching with that, the Mad About You revival, and presumably if you have, like actually I do here in New York, Charter Spectrum as your cable provider, that should come to you as streaming on that. But right now we don't know a lot about that streaming service or exactly what it's going to drop. But certainly Mad About You fans should be pretty excited.
I'm surprised NBC took a pass on it. They've done really well with Will and Grace, and of course Roseanne's show has lived on and done a nice job for ABC. I'm very surprised NBC jumped ship on it.
I think with the revival trend, we've hit a little bit of a plateau at this point. Certainly there was, as you mentioned, huge interest when Will and Grace came back, huge interest when Roseanne came back. But it's not even necessarily that we're hitting diminishing returns just so much as they're doing fine.
Yeah.
You know, so bringing back Mad About You on NBC is not as sure of that this year as it potentially would have been last year.
Yeah. Okay. I agree with you, Alex. Thank you so much for joining us, and we'll talk to you a week from today.
All right, sounds great. Thanks so much.
Alexander Zeldman, the managing editor of Decider.com. We'll take a little break. We'll get you some news and then more show. It's Bill Leff. It's Wendy Snyder. And it's WGN.
Oh, there is no break. What? We were told that. Yeah.
Oh, because it's International Women's Day. I always forget. I always forget the rules. The rules are crazy on International Women's Day.